Our last speaker today is Emily. We're going to have her come up. I'm just going to pray for our time real quick and just pray that the Lord touches our hearts. Dear Lord, I just pray for this time, God. I just pray that you speak to us and just show us your word and your truth and just to just convict us when we need convicting or encourage us where we need encouraging, Lord. And just thank you once again for this wonderful group of people. And I just pray for Emily that you just speak through her and calm her heart and just light her up with joy. I just pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Hi, ladies. Like Laura said, my name is Emily Healy, and I attend the Minneapolis House Church. My husband, Jeff, is one of the leaders there. And we have three kids. Austin is 13, Kaylin is 7, and Jameson is 19 months. Before I go any further, I just wanted to take a moment to pray myself. I've been like super excited and not getting a lot of sleep last night, and then there's been a lot of coffee and not a lot of food. So it's like creating this strange buzz that I'm feeling. And it'd be really helpful if the Lord would just help me to calm that down. So I'm just going to pray again. Lord, I just want to thank you again for today, God. And thank you and thank you and thank you again, Lord. It's just been awesome. I've been so encouraged and so convicted and so humbled. And Lord, it sounds like from the ladies I've spoken with so far, we're all kind of experiencing the same thing of just being really encouraged and refreshed. And even if it's thoughts that we've heard before, just how your word says, precept upon precept, God, we're just hearing these things repeatedly, but it's good, God, it's good because you're just engraving these things on our hearts. And God, I just pray that you would help me to share these thoughts that are not my own, they're from you, God, and you'd help me to do that effectively, God, that you'd help me to just encourage my sisters here today, God. I ask you to bless them, bless this time, God, and I lift it up to you, God, in Jesus' name, amen. So you guys should, I was going to say you should have a handout. Just kidding, I do. So I have a few here. Celeste, thank you. I appreciate that. These are the two pages. No. Yep, those are mine. Yep, there's three pages. Those two go together and then that other one. Sorry, a little bit of, I created a little confusion there by having so many handouts. I'm just going to read this paragraph of the first portion of the handout, which you guys can read through on your own too, or if you've already received the handout, you can read it along with me. But it's just a paragraph of my own thoughts that I kind of put together as I was mulling this topic over in my head and as it pertains to my own mothering, which has been really good and refreshing and encouraging for me because I just needed this. It was very humbling for me to realize the areas that I really need a lot of growth in, and I need the Lord's grace to help me. So these are just kind of the first few thoughts that came out of my head as I was going before the Lord on this topic. So starting on the top there of the page, just one look, whether joyful or not, can make a huge impression even on a stranger, and even though it only takes a moment. Proverbs 15:30 tells us, a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. It's that powerful. There's something absolutely stunning about a mom who is joyful, especially when she's dealing with challenges and difficulties. But there are many things that can steal our joy as moms and as women. With it, we can be a holy force to be reckoned with. Without it, we can be rendered useless, just what the enemy is looking to do. In Christ alone, we have so much to be joyful about. Plus, as mothers, we have been given these priceless treasures to love and shape for Him. If we can simply get our heads and our hearts around this great truth, we can greatly impact our sweet children and through them the world. Let's take a look at some things that can threaten our joy and ways to regain it. So you'll see on your handout that I just have this little list here of things that can steal our joy, and these are certainly by no means the only things out there. In fact, even as I was listening to some of you speak today, I made some additional notes like, oh yeah, that, you know, I can be discouraged in this area too or whatever, and maybe you will be able to relate to it, but they're in no particular order, starting with challenges in our mothering, dealing with weariness or discouragement, especially when we're having to work on an issue over and over and over with a child or our children, and you're not seeing fruit right away. That can be just extremely draining. trials outside of mothering, whether it's financial or relational, going through a hard time with your spouse, or having a rough financial patch. My husband is a self-employed businessman, and for any of you that are married to such a guy, it can be challenging for you both, because finances can ebb and flow, and it takes some creativity with your budgeting, and that can bring a whole different level of stress, and that can play out on our mothering. A lot of these things don't have to do just with mothering, but they can affect the way we mother or our joy in our mothering, because our head is caught up in these trials that we're going through. Our own flesh, being annoyed by our kids, it happens. It's like not something you want to say as a mom, that my kid's annoying me, but it happens. They can be loud, they can be just bothersome. I don't know, that we love them to pieces, but they just can have a way of, I think Celeste put it well earlier, about pushing our emotional buttons. Fatigue, so you know, you have a new baby and you're getting up in the night. Or I think maybe Steph was mentioning earlier about putting your kids to bed or trying to get them to go down so you can have your you time. That is an area where I can struggle with. Like, my kids have this really great ability to prolong bedtime. Like, there's always like a snack and then a drink that's needed and then, you know, something. And especially if a real need comes up, like one of our kids has dealt with fear and they go to bed and all of a sudden all these scary thoughts and scenarios and movie scenes that maybe they accidentally caught a snippet of just start playing out in their head. And I can really struggle to give grace in that moment, because I'm thinking, I just want this day to be done. And I'm not very sympathetic, so I need the Lord's grace in those moments. So our own expectations, comparing ourselves to lots of stuff, discontentment, lack of priorities, mismanaged time or having too many to-dos, messy environment, lack of organization, and lies. Also, one that I added after I wrote this out was disappointment. That can come in a lot of different forms, but that can be one that can really get us down and out. And being discouraged by our own shortcomings. I just, you know, I have, like I said, three boys, and they're all very different. One struggles with his emotions, and especially as it pertains to justice, he does not do well with injustice, especially in his siblings. That is something we've had to work on and are still working on. We have another one that struggles with self-control and has a very gregarious personality, and that has created its own hardships, and as we've been trying to work on that. And then we have another one who struggles with anger, has, you know, wound up and hit us in their moments of frustration, or, you know, done the temper tantrum thing on the floor. All of those things have provided challenges that fall somewhere in this category of stealing my joy. I just want to take one second to point out to you ladies that I think in your binder you should have these packets called Character Practical Ideas on Teaching and Training Your Children. That was something that was done, I think, by Laura years ago when we were going through the Fruits of the Spirit with our kids. And just as I was going through these notes and kind of preparing for today, I just felt like a lot of those things really impacted me in my own mothering, and I'm hoping that it will impact you ladies too. A lot of you probably remember it, but in case you weren't there or you have forgotten or maybe don't have those notes anymore, just something to reference to help in your mothering that will add to your joy, just like Julie was talking about, that training brings us joy in our mothering. And then there was another one that was handed out that says, I think, the impact of joy. I think I misplaced my copy, but I made it, so I know what it looks like. And that was just my own mental image, so it might to some of you be like weird, but for me it really helped me to like get my head around how when I'm joyful and when I am purposing myself to be joyful, whether it's with my kids or even just with my family. I mean, if you look at it, it has you in the center, and then it's like these arrows pointing out, whether it's your spouse or your kids or people that you might just come across randomly. So like the Target cashier or the person at the gas station, or I think also is on there, people that you're reaching out to. All of those things, when we're purposing ourselves to be joyful, we make an impact on these people, and then from there, they're making impacts on other people. So really, you taking a stand to be joyful, whether it's like Chris was talking about earlier, just slowing down, speaking purposefully, controlling yourself, controlling your anger, smiling and being joyful, all of those things have an impact on our kids, on our husband, on each other. I can list off many instances where I've been encouraged. Maybe I've come to church one night and I'm just feeling like overwhelmed, or I'm tired, or I'm just grumpy or whatever. And then I see one of you ladies interacting with your kids in a really gracious way, or just being kind and patient, and it spurs me on. And that's what the word talks about. We need to spur one another on to good deeds. And so, you know, don't take for granted, or don't underestimate rather your ability to be impactful just by being joyful. It can be simple. Sometimes it's hard, but it can be a really simple thing to do and really impactful. So let's just move on. So we've gone through this list. How can we combat these struggles? Number one, bathe in the Word. We've heard this a lot today, this idea of being in the Word, and a lot of these things actually are not new to you guys, whether we've heard other people share them today or at other conferences, but hopefully you'll find it refreshing. That idea of bathing in the Word, we have to get our head and our hearts around God's truth. It's the only way, really, that we're going to combat a lot of these issues. Ephesians 6:16 tells us, "In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil." That was something that was really impactful for me in the last couple of months. I had read those verses before about putting on the armor of God, but it never really occurred to me, or I never really thought about what that meant or what that would look like. And one day I was reading them, and this portion of holding up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil really stuck out to me. And partly because of some things I had dealt with in my own recent walk, or just various circumstances the Lord has allowed us to go through that were really difficult. And he had been working on my heart about choosing to believe that whatever circumstance I find myself in, or trial that we're going through, no matter how out of control it seems or how out of left field, I mean, so many times it's like, what is going on, Lord? What are you doing? You know, and it feels really out of control to us, or it just seems really unfair, really unjust. And choosing to believe that nothing is out of the Lord's control. He, you know, choosing to believe that he has this filter. He's watching over our lives, and he's allowing things that will be for our good and for his glory. And seeing it from that perspective helps me to switch it and see whatever I'm dealing with as being allowed by the Lord, and he's going to use it for good. And that has time and time again helped me to switch my heart into being joyful rather than being discouraged or just feeling leveled. I don't know about you ladies, but when I'm really battling discouragement, I just feel leveled. I don't know how else to put it, but I don't want to do anything. I just want to like sit and not talk to anybody. And a lot of you, unfortunately, have probably seen that side of me. I don't do a very good job of reeling that in sometimes. And that's something the Lord has really had to work with me on. I did want to read to you. Oh, shoot. I forgot my books. Sister, would you mind bringing me my green bag? Thank you. Celeste had mentioned Streams in the Desert earlier, and a lot of you are probably familiar with that devotional and have found a lot of encouragement in it. And there was one that actually maybe you just read recently. Thank you, because it was from September 17th. But it's one that I think like a year ago I had become extremely encouraged by, and it sort of pertains to this thought. So I would like to just read a portion to you right now. All right, so for those of you that are not familiar with this devotional, it starts out with a verse, and I really love this verse. It's 1 Samuel 3:18. It says, "He is the Lord, let him do what is good in his eyes." And it says, "If I see God in everything, he will calm and color everything I see. Perhaps the circumstances causing my sorrows will not be removed, and my situation will remain the same. But if Christ is brought into my grief and gloom as my Lord and Master, he will surround me with songs of deliverance. To see him and to be sure that his wisdom and power never fail and his love never changes, to know that even his most distressing dealings with me are for my deepest spiritual gain, is to be able to say in the midst of bereavement, sorrow, pain, and loss, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Seeing God in everything is the only thing that will make me loving and patient with people who annoy and trouble me. Then I will see others as the instruments God uses to accomplish his tender and wise purpose for me, and I will even find myself inwardly thanking them for the blessing they have become to me. Nothing but seeing God will completely put an end to all complaining and thoughts of rebellion." We can't really do that if we don't have the word to remind us of that, because that's not the bent that our minds take. And so, you know, just like a lot of great thoughts we've heard today about truth packs, and for me, sometimes I even just take out my journal and I'll just flip through the verses that I've recently written down just to be re-encouraged by what the Lord has been speaking to me about. And that's, you know, quick and easy. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It's really great to shoot for really long, quiet times, and, you know, maybe a time in the day that's a stretch for you if you're not a morning person. I'm not a morning person. That's a hard time for me to get up. It takes a lot for me to do that. And, you know, sometimes depending on the seasons that we're in, we can't always do that. It has to be, you know, maybe even 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, it's more important to just get in the Word so that we can have it ready on our minds. Another thought is to meditate on all the ways that the Lord has come through for you. I have a journal that I write down whether it's specific prayer requests that the Lord has answered or something that maybe the Lord just provided before we even knew that need was going to come up. And it has been so encouraging to me to reflect. You think you're going to remember, especially if it was like a really big deal, but we don't. We forget so easily. We forget what the Lord has done, just like the Israelites. And we need to be reminded. Actually, recently I was having a day where I was just really discouraged and really down. I don't really remember what, even though it was like 2 weeks ago, I honestly can't remember what I was so bummed out about. I think we just were dealing with a lot of needs. Like, I don't know what's going on with our house, but we have like a leaky sink and the door was being weird and, like, I don't know, car issues, just all these little things that it started to feel overwhelming. Like, we need to take care of this and we need to take care of that, and Lord, we can't do it all. And then all of a sudden I just, because I was working on this, thought, okay, I just need to think about the ways that the Lord has come through for us lately. And one thing, there's been many, I could probably talk for several minutes on the way the Lord has been coming through for us just even recently, but one big thing was, for maybe a year now, our water heater was like about to go kaput. Like, the bottom was rusting in a way that was like, oh, please, Lord, please don't let the bottom fall off and all the water come out when we're gone. Like, it was just bad. And, you know, they're pretty expensive depending on what kinds you get or how big they are. They're at least hundreds of dollars. And so I was like, okay, Lord, how are we going to do this? You just have to provide a way for this to work out, provide the money. I don't know. So we're praying and praying, and poor Jeff, he was so stressed out by it. And then our neighbors, who are just these sweet born-again Christians, they homeschool their own kids and are really dear friends of ours and have been a great blessing in our life. He learned of our need and sometime later ended up doing a job, a side job, where he was installing a new water heater for somebody that he was getting paid to do. Nothing wrong with their water heater, they just wanted a bigger one. And so they were just going to have him dispose of it, but they let him take it and give it to us, and then he installed it for free. So here we got this free, really good condition water heater, the exact same size of our other one, and it was installed for free. Like, that was huge. I mean, we were praying that we would just maybe only have to spend a couple hundred dollars or a few hundred dollars. We'd been looking on Craigslist, nothing. And here he just did it all for free. It was incredible. And that, as soon as I reminded myself of that, I was instantly encouraged. And then I just started thinking of other things the Lord had been doing. And it just, you know, brought me back into a position of feeling joyful. Okay, moving on. Don't compare. Galatians 6, verse 4 and 5 say, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else, for we are each responsible for our own conduct. Some of you may remember a message that I think I shared at one of our Revolutionary Women's meetings a couple years ago, and it's the copy of the handout is in your binder as well. It's called Confidently Mothering with Grace and Unity. But even if you're not a mom, I would encourage you to take a look at that, just because I think that whether we're a mom or not, we can get caught up in comparing, especially as women. It's really easy to not think about ourselves the way the Lord thinks about us, whether it's our own body image or how we're doing or not doing or just our own shortcomings. And it's just a way for the enemy, again, to discourage us, which, you know, he doesn't care how he does it. He just wants to do it. Sometimes I think of the enemy of like that game Whack-A-Mole, where you're like hitting it and then it pops up somewhere else and you hit it again. Sometimes I feel like that's what it can feel like. We're battling the enemy and he, you know, beat him down in one area and he pops up in another area, and it's just like, it can be exhausting. So again, why we need to be in the Word and having things like this, where it's just, don't compare yourself to other moms and worrying about what they're doing, or, you know, being worried about where you need to grow, because we're all having our own work to do. And if we're focusing on that, focusing on our own families and going before the Lord about what he's having us do with those little ones or between your husband and you, it's, you know, that's where our encouragement and our joy will come from, that satisfaction of doing our own work and being careful to think Philippians 4:8 thoughts, of fixing our thoughts on what is true and right and pure and lovely and praiseworthy. You know, we need to understand that no one is good, not even one. That's Romans 3:12 tells us that. And no matter what you think or you feel about yourself or other moms, we all need Christ and his salvation. And without Christ, each and every one of us would be a complete mess and insufficient moms. Thankfully, we've all been offered this free gift, and you know, a lot of you know that. A lot of you are have been following the Lord for a long time, but if you're not, I just want to encourage you that this is where real joy comes from, of knowing Christ and having a personal relationship with him, and it's not based on our past or, you know, where we're at today, and nothing we can do or don't do can earn it or cause it to be lost. Romans 3:22 through 25 tells us we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone who has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So we know that we've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. And even those who seem really good, there's always somebody who's just like, well, she's probably not sinned. Or, you know, she didn't do what I did when I was a teenager or something like that. And that's just not true. We've all fallen short of God's standard, which is perfect. And because he's perfectly just, we all deserve to spend an eternity apart from him in hell. But he loves us so passionately and his kindness is so great that he's offered this unmerited gift of salvation in Christ. And like I said, that's the cause for real joy. We won't be able to get our heads around this, these other thoughts, or even getting in the Word. It won't make sense unless we have that relationship with Christ. And there's only real joy, there's only real love and eternal salvation in Jesus Christ. We cannot be saved in any other way or through any other means, but we all have access to this gift. And if you haven't accepted this offer, I would encourage you to do it now by taking a moment in your own mind and heart. You don't have to say anything out loud. You can just, you know, think in your head, like, and know that the Lord can hear those thoughts, and humbly confessing to him your realization of your need for him and that you want him in your life. If that's what you want, I would encourage you to do that and thank him for his gift of salvation and know that you are a new creation in Christ. I just can't stress enough how that's where our joy, our real joy, even for those of you that have been walking with the Lord for a long time, just take time to revisit that. I think that it can be easy to become, I don't know what word I'm looking for, but just, I guess, it's just easy to forget about that. Forget about where we came from. Forget about what Christ has done in our life. And we need to be reminding ourselves of where our real joy comes from, and it comes from our relationship with Christ, which he lovingly gave to us. Number three, give your kids grace. And I would also add, you need to give yourself grace, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's in Hebrews. Ephesians 4:31 through 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. This is an area where I can fall short. I have a lot of growing to do in this area still with my kids. It's really easy. I homeschool my boys. Austin, again, is 13, so he just started 8th grade. Kaylin is in 2nd grade. And it's really easy for me to become calloused by their, I guess, just when they're struggling. Like the other day, Austin, bless his heart, was getting really overwhelmed by a essay. He had to write a 500-word essay on how to operate a drill. That was his choice, though. It was like how to operate something, and he chose drill. We did try to look for another subject, and it was to no avail. So we went with the drill. And even though math was really not my best subject, so language arts was also tough for me in the high school years when it came to writing papers and stuff. So I felt like immediately like I was going to be no help to him. And I was trying my best, and he was instantly like a deer in headlights. And as I was explaining things to him, he was just like, And I just kept wanting to say like, okay, I actually did say, okay, calm down. It's going to be okay. But I was saying it not in like, sweetheart, it'll be okay, mom's here to help. It was like, okay, get it together, because this is not helping. Like, and immediately it was like, okay, well, you're really not helping either, so you should just calm down. And I felt like the Lord was like, Emily, don't you remember when you were in high school, this is how you would feel. Like, it was just like he had to remind me to help me to be empathetic, because that's how I feel when I would have to write something or any sort of project that was like, I don't know what they want me to do. What are they saying? And he had to remind me, and I had to go back and apologize. I have to apologize a lot to my kids, and I'm really thankful that the Lord gives us that opportunity to apologize to our kids. It's a great tool, because we are going to sin. We are going to screw up, and to be able to go back to them and say, I'm really sorry. I was not being kind, or I was not being gentle. Will you please forgive me? And I did that, and we made it through. And then the poor guy the next day had another essay, and he was like, Mom. But this time we were prepared and actually got through that one as well. So, you know, praise God for that. But yeah, we need to be gracious and tenderhearted with our kids. Proverbs 11:16 says, a gracious woman gains respect. And that verse really spoke to me, because we're trying to win our kids' hearts, and we're not going to win their hearts. We're not going to win their respect. We're not going to be able to easily lead them if we're being rigid and tough and unforgiving and not merciful. We need to give our kids grace the way Christ has given us grace. I was thinking last night during worship, for those of you that were at the Rock, and some of the songs that we sang, especially the last one that we sang that I think Jeremy wrote, and it has a line in there about, I should have written it down. I thought I would remember. But something about it makes me try. Celeste, maybe you remember, about like, it's like in the last part of the song, and it's like something about the Lord's kindness or his grace, it makes me try. And I just thought about that, and like with our kids, like we just need to mirror the way the Lord has been with us. He's been so gracious and so kind, and that's what spurs us on to want to try again, to obey. And we need to mirror that with our kids. We need to be humble and recognize that we have our own shortcomings. We have our own idiosyncrasies. I think whether it's pride or something else, we can easily blow past that and just think, well, I don't do that, or I'm better at, you know, this than that person. And, you know, it's pride that covers that up. But we have our own failings, and we have our own weird little quirks, and our kids are going to have them too, and we need to give them room for that. Colossians 3:12 tells us, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. So again, just that reminder that we need to be humble, we need to be tender-hearted, and we need to be gentle with them the way the Lord has been with us. And the Lord blesses humility. So number 4, practice it. Discontentment is not a product of circumstances, it is the state of the soul. That is a quote from Debbie Pearl from her book, Created to Be His Helpmeet, which, just take a moment to plug that book. If you've not heard of the Helpmeet book before, those of you who have had are slightly snickering right now. It is an awesome, awesome book. It is not for the faint of heart, but I say that with completely backing it up. It is an awesome book. She tells it like it is, and it's so good. It is so good. It will really refine you and challenge you and encourage you. If you are a wife, I would encourage you to read that. And I wanted to share something. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Anyways, it's easy to get caught up. It's easy to get caught up in the idea that if this were different or if that were different, if we had more money, if things were better or newer, if we lived in a bigger home, or if we had a bigger backyard or whatever, it's just something was different, that it would be better. But that's just not true. Philippians 4:11 says, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. And Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And then finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. That 1 Thessalonians was another one for me in the last few months that the Lord has really used to refine me and to encourage me and to challenge me in a lot of different areas, and I've just seen it. It was like this one and then that first verse about, Ephesians 6:16, about the fiery arrows of the devil. Both those two together in combination, I just kept seeing pop up, or the need for them to pop up in different areas that I was dealing with. And one actually started well, a while ago when I was pregnant with Jameson, and we found out that it was a boy. And admittedly, we had been hoping for a girl. Sorry, Jameson, if you're listening to this someday and you're really, really old, we love you very much. We do. But I admit, I was really sad. In fact, I didn't believe the technician when she first told me it was a boy. I asked her to check again because I thought it was a girl and that she just didn't know what she was doing. And I had to wrestle with that because I was also really discouraged that I would feel bad about that. Like, we had been wanting to have a baby for so long, and for a variety of reasons, we just couldn't. And that was its own trial. And then here we were, able to get pregnant, and then I was sad that it was a boy and not a girl, and I just felt like a really bad mom about that. And then the Lord started to work on my heart in that Streams in the Desert that I read to you about trusting the Lord that He would do what is good in His eyes, not necessarily mine, but His. And I just started to let that wash over my mind and wash over my mind, and I chose to believe it. And then the Lord started to open my eyes to the fact that we have three boys, and they will, Lord willing, someday be leaders. And what an awesome privilege I have of training and loving these future men that are going to be maybe husbands, maybe fathers, maybe leaders within the church. And what an awesome privilege that is. And I suddenly felt very humbled that God would trust me enough to do that. And, you know, so that was just one area where I just had to turn my heart to being thankful that the Lord would trust me with that. Another one is maybe a little bit simple and a little bit, well, definitely not as righteous maybe as another example, but my family had, for the last almost 20 years, has had a lake home down in Iowa, Okoboji, Iowa, if you guys are familiar with that place. Otherwise, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Okoboji is a weird word, but it was an awesome, awesome place that my parents owned and we had frequented throughout the summers. And they suddenly, well, I think they had been thinking a while about selling it, but I just don't think I believed them when they'd bring it up. And they would ask us our opinion, like, do you think we should sell? And I would always say, and I meant it at the time, like, just, it's your place, do whatever you want. I totally, you know, whatever you want. I didn't want them to hinge their decision on me, but I just didn't think they'd do anything about it. So then one day in May, my mom calls and said, we sold Okoboji and we bought a new place. And it was just like, what? Like, really? Like, I spent my childhood at this place and it's gone? Like, it's done? But I didn't say any of that. I was just like, oh, okay. And just, I was so sad. It's, I mean, maybe that's really silly, but I was really, really sad, like just devastated. And then I immediately thought, I have nothing to be sad about. I need to be thankful that the Lord even afforded us this place to be at for all of those years. And now on top, I mean, that right there is enough. I could, if there was nothing else after that, I could just say that and just be thankful. And then it was like, and now they have this other place and we can enjoy that. And I was thankful for that. And I'm not kidding you. It just covered my heart in this protection to the point where I was nervous going down to pack up the old place. I was nervous for the memories that would be stirred up, and nervous when we were leaving that I would just get really emotional about not seeing this place again and not seeing that place again. And I was even nervous to see pictures. Jeff was taking a lot of pictures, and I was nervous to look at them, thinking, well, I don't want to be sad about this. I really want to be okay with letting this go. And I was, time and time again, really pleasantly surprised at how much the Lord had guarded my heart, just because I had chosen to be thankful that He had just afforded us this blessing for so long, and that we had this new blessing coming. And how wonderful, you know, not everybody gets to do that, and I'm thankful that we do. And then finally, another area where the Lord has brought this up for me, and I was actually able to share with a sister, is Gretchen Darling. And a lot of you know that she just had her second son, Wilder, and there was a lot of prayer leading up to his birth, hoping that he would be born by natural delivery rather than C-section, which their first son, Wyatt, was delivered via C-section, and that was really hard for Gretchen. So she had been, you know, prayerfully going before the Lord and asking those of us who knew them to pray as well that Wilder would be born safely and via natural delivery. And for those of you who don't know, he was delivered via C-section, and it was a complete and utter miracle because he had gotten to the point where there was a window, as they call it, in the uterus, and had she waited any longer, she had gone through all of the labor and even, I think, a little bit of pushing, and it got to a point where they were seeing signs of things that weren't good, and ultimately they just asked Gretchen what she wanted, and she said, I want a healthy baby. And so they immediately brought her into surgery and found out at that moment, had she gone any farther, most certainly would have lost Wilder and possibly Gretchen as well. And just, I know in talking to Gretchen afterwards that it was a different experience for her. I at first was nervous that it was going to be discouraging and disappointing for her since it had to be another C-section. And on top of that, they told her, you are from now on, if you have any more kids, are going to have a C-section. And I knew that was going to be a sacrifice for her and her heart. And I was so encouraged to see her encouraged, that she was so thankful before the Lord that he had spared their son and spared her life, and that he was sovereign and completely in control. What could have felt like or looked like a very chaotic situation was actually completely in the hands of God, and he was very gracious to spare them. And, you know, just again brought this verse to my mind, always being thankful. You know, we're going to be in a lot of trials, we're going to be in a lot of difficult circumstances, but the Lord challenges us to be thankful anyways, and there's protection for our hearts in that. So like I said, there was this book, Created to Be His Helpmeet. I know I just had it. Nope, I didn't. Just kidding. Just seeing if you guys are on your toes. Just wanted to read a little bit of what Debbie has to share about thankfulness and as it pertains to joy. All right, so she says, joy begins with thankfulness. Sorry, I got to get the hair out of my mouth. Quite often our attitudes hang in the balance by making a conscious choice. We can tip our souls into dark moods of complaining or into thankfulness and praise. It is amazing how much your mouth controls your soul. You can smile with your mouth and say, thank you, God, thank you, husband, thank you, children, and your spirit is directed into gratitude with joy following. Thankfulness is how you think. Joy is the abundance it produces. Practice makes perfect. Practice having a merry and thankful heart. I've known people who, though they did not have a natural knack for music, started piano lessons and practiced it every day. After 2 or 3 years, their fingers moved across the keys easily, and their music sounded sweeter and more fluid every time I heard them. If you ask them, how do you know to hit all those notes? They answer, practice. I've practiced so much I don't think about it. It just happens. Life is like that. Most people have practiced hitting the notes of bitterness, sourness, hurt feelings, and frustration so long that their soul finds the discordant notes easily, almost without thought. But you don't have to keep on practicing discord. You can practice joy and thanksgiving just as easily, and certainly with more pleasure. Every day, every right response makes the fingers of your soul find the notes of joy and thanksgiving easier and easier, until it is so natural that people will say to you, I'm not like you. I don't have a bubbly personality. I'm not a happy person. How can I have joy? And you will be able to tell them, practice makes perfect. Learn to enjoy life. Be thankful. Smile. When you catch yourself becoming irritated or disturbed at circumstances, stop and laugh at the little things that steal your peace. Count your blessings and learn to be appreciative. That I just remember when I read that for the first time, that was really impactful for me. I took piano lessons as a kid, and so I got that idea, and I'm sure it's, even if you didn't play an instrument, I'm sure you can get it, but just that idea of how we can practice thankfulness and it can become natural, or we can go the other way. Another suggestion for you ladies that I have found really encouraging is 31 Days of Praise. Kathy Darling actually introduced me to this book, and it has been awesome. And I would highly encourage this book to you ladies. It gives words to your prayer, so whether you're going through like a really discouraging time, or you're just in a season of trial, and you're finding it hard to find things to praise God for, this will give you words. And it just also helped to really shape not only how God views me. She has a really wonderful, it's like a devotional, like a, you know, just like streams where there's, although it's 31 days, so it's day one, day two, it's not by month. But one of the days in here talks about when we sin and when we fail, and the way she words that about, and it's all written like she's praying, and just praising God that he's forgiven us, that we have this grace from him, even though we fail and even though we fall short. And that really refined me, even in my own walk with the Lord. So I would just encourage you, if that's something that sounds like you need, you know, even if you're not sure, maybe you feel like, oh, I do fine praising the Lord, look at it anyways. It's really great. A final thought on that is to just not get overwhelmed. I think it's easy for us to get overwhelmed feeling like, oh, I have so many things I need to work on, or there's all these great thoughts and I don't know where to start. I just encourage you. This is something I've heard from both Mark Darling and Kathleen Nelson, shares it in her book that's already been well advertised, about just doing the next right thing. Just, you know, don't worry about getting down the road. Just take a second. Just make the next right choice. Another saying that I think, well, it's a Quaker saying. It was one my husband actually introduced me to. And it says, start small, start immediately. And that has been applicable for me in a lot of different areas. Maybe something for you ladies too. Okay, moving on to number 5. Just checking my time here. Okay, prioritize and organize. Nancy Lee DeMoss has a book called Lies Women Believe in, The Truth That Sets Them Free. And in there, she shares about how we've all, she lists lies that sometimes women can get caught up in. And I think for this particular day, I meant to find the book and I couldn't. But she, I think, is saying, or when we can get caught up saying, I don't have enough time, or there's just not enough hours in the day. And the truth of the matter is, we all have 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's the way it's always been. It's the way it's always going to be. Even Christ himself only had 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days in his years. And he was still able to say when he died, it is finished. Because he did the work that the Father had sent him to do. These are her thoughts, not mine. And that was really impactful for me, because I, maybe like some of you, can get caught up with my endless to-do list. I swear, I like my to-do list. I love them. I'm the checker-offer girl. And I can fill that to-do list with so many things, and it's really easy for me to get stressed out and overwhelmed, or I'm trying to fit a lot into my day. I'm trying to homeschool, and then we got a nap at 1 o'clock, and then dinner's got to be on by 6, but I really want to go to this store and this store and this store, and then I'm going to make my bread, and then I'm going to bake some soup, and it's like, whoa, just hold on a second. You don't have time for that. And for me, the red flag is when I start to get really stressed out and overwhelmed and feeling like I have too much to do. It's like, okay, maybe because there's too much on your list that is not what the Lord is asking you to do right now, maybe you need to refine that list. And almost always there's something in there that's like, yeah, I guess I don't have to bake that bread today. Or I guess I don't have to go to that store. I can do that on the weekend or whatever. There's a lot of really great opportunities for us out there, whether it's serving somebody or participating in a ministry, or there's so many lists. I'm sure we could sit here together and compile an amazing list of things that we could do with our time. But they should not, those things, no matter how great and valuable they seem or are, they should not trump and get in the way of our kids and spending time with them, building into them, taking care of our homes, taking care of our husbands, serving them. That's where our priorities lie, and everything needs to come after that. Proverbs 31:8 says, she makes sure her dealings are profitable. That one really stuck out for me because, like I said, I've had to learn, and I'm still learning, to evaluate my list of to-dos, my priorities, and making sure that what I'm doing with my time is profitable. It's where the Lord would have me. And just like many of you have shared today about setting up boundaries, I really appreciated what Coral shared and about routines or having to shut off the iPhone. I am guilty of that as well. And computer time, as you were sharing that, Coral, I was like, oh, yeah, I did that for a little while. And then I started checking my email again in the morning, and I really got to go back to that, because it's amazing how you're like, oh, I'll just check really quick. And then like 45 minutes later, you're like, what happened? I just was checking one email. And you just get sucked in. And, you know, there's a time and a place for email. There's a time and a place for Facebook. I think there's value in some of those things. If you disagree, that's fine. You can have your own opinion. But there's a lot of things that have value. Hobbies have values. I like to crochet, and I've been able to crochet some gifts for people. There's value in that. But if I'm putting off my kids or putting off my things that I need to do around my home, taking care of my home, it's not that valuable. And we need to assess what those areas are and eliminate the things that keep us from being able to spend quality time in our home with our kids. And I would also suggest that you do that with your husband, that you would evaluate or reevaluate with your husband and ask him for his guidance in helping you to decide what you should keep in your day, especially if you're not quite sure. Some maybe dealing with some gray things that you're just I don't know if this would be good for me to keep doing or not. And everybody's going to be different. What one husband and wife decides that they're going to do with their day, another husband and wife is going to say, no, this is okay for us. And that's okay too. You just need to stand before the Lord with your husband and get a plan together. Finally, number 6, get perspective. We are in a short season, and not only will this time of our mothering be done soon, someday we will miss these years. Psalm 39, verse 4, Lord, remind me of how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. And this has been very, very impactful for me in the years. I don't know. I just feel like this is a thought that every once in a while the Lord brings up for me when I'm frustrated with my kids, especially. And, or, you know, just, I have all boys in my house, literally all boys. Even my dog is a boy. So I can feel very overwhelmed by testosterone and just loud noises and, you know, Star Wars stories. And there's a lot of swords in my house, and I can just get really overwhelmed. And then to stop and think, someday my kids are going to be maybe out on their own with their own families, and I'm not going to see them every day. I'm not going to probably even talk to them every day. Maybe I will, but I don't know. It might be weeks before I get to see them again. And instantly, I want to hear like every Star Wars story that ever occurred. Or even the other day, I was talking about this with Jeff, and actually, I was more confessing to him how much I hate going to the park. I really, really, really hate going to the park. I don't know why. I just don't like it. I know some moms are like, yay, the park. It's really hard to run in sand, and I don't like to do it. So... It's a big sacrifice for me to go, and I feel bad because it's really not hard for me to stay in my house for days on end. And then every once in a while I'm like, oh, we haven't been outside in like 2 days, we should probably go outside. But I was talking about that with Jeff and just saying like how much I didn't like it, and it was hard for me to go, and I know I should go. And he was like, you know what though, Jameson being 19 months old now is really fun to push in a swing and do underdogs with. He like squeals with delight, and it's just adorable. And in like 6 months, a year, it's not going to be the same, you know, or the things he says now. He says, for sorry, he says, sawasi, or he has a couple other really funny words, and I don't want those to go away. I know I have to teach him how to say sorry, and I'm not going to make him keep saying sawasi, but, you know, those things, it's easy to think, oh, I've got 18 years, which is true, and that is also true that it's a short amount of time, but our kids are growing constantly, and they're going to change, and in just a few months, they're going to be different. In a year, I look at pictures of my kids, and I'm like, wow, a year ago, Austin looked younger than he does now. He's getting so much older. And with the age that he's at, pretty soon, he's going to be an adult, you know? And just to get our minds around that perspective of this time is fleeting really helps to bring our hearts back into the moment and to just say, you know what? This other stuff is not important. Or just, you know, reel in my emotions. And in fact, we had something made up for you ladies. That Celeste, would you mind passing out for me again? I'll just read it really quick to you guys. You will never have this day with your children again. Tomorrow they'll be a little older than they were today. This day is a gift. Breathe and notice. Smell and touch them. Study their faces and little feet and pay attention. Relish the charms of the present. Enjoy today, Mama. It will be over before you know it. And that is a quote from a woman who's a speaker and blogger. I actually saw this on Pinterest. I think it was one of you. Yes. Bridget, thank you. Yeah, thanks for pinning that. I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. That is so perfect. And I, you know, instantly asked the other ladies, can we have these made up? And I wanted you guys to have that. We wanted you guys to have that so you could put it up on a mirror or put it up in your on wall somewhere, fridge, frame it. Anywhere that you're going to see it, and it's going to help you to remind you that this day is going to be done, and tomorrow they're going to be a little bit older. And I love helping Jameson to get into the bathtub, because I don't know why this is really strange, but when I'm standing over him, I like to look down at his feet because they look like they're this big, and I just, you know, every time I'm like, oh, he's going to get so big so fast so soon, and just trying to maintain that perspective of, this time is fleeting, and our days with our kids are numbered, and one day this season is going to be done. Okay, so before I start crying, we're going to move on. Most of our kids don't have the Holy Spirit, and if they do, if your child is old enough where they've grasped the gospel, they've placed their faith in Christ, then you can be confident that with Christ's help and with our training, they're going to grow. And so, you know, don't get discouraged. Just keep at it. Like Celeste said earlier, stay the course. I think that's what you said. You know, it's just, the Lord is going to give us grace to get through. And on that thought, Galatians 6:9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good, and just at just the right time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So we need to persevere. The Lord promises that if we continue to persevere, you know, training for the umpteenth time on the whatever issue that you're like, really? Really? Is this happening again? Even if it's only the second time, I can fizzle out so fast. I'm like, we just talked about this 15 minutes ago. Do we have to talk about it again? But no, the Lord promises if we are faithful and diligent, we will reap a harvest of blessing. We just can't give up. And finally, I just wanted to encourage you all that this job as a mom is a high and holy calling. We are each ambassadors to our kids, and God is going to use us to draw them into a personal relationship with Him, which is the most precious gift that we can give them. And your role as a mom to your kids is invaluable. Other people cannot influence and love and train your kids the way God has equipped you to do it. So it doesn't matter how awesome you think Julie is or Celeste is or any other mom, and thinking they're so wise or they have all these great thoughts, they cannot mother your kids the way you can. And you have a very special opportunity to impact your kids for Christ and to love them and to help them to serve God. And I just want to encourage you in that, because this world will not. This world will tell us that our jobs as moms is like a glorified babysitter. And that just boils my blood, because it's absolutely not true. This job that the Lord has given to us, He's given us these priceless treasures, and our job is a holy one. And I just want to encourage you ladies in that and to keep persevering. So that's all I think we have for today. And I don't know if there's any other announcements or anything. So I'm just going to close us out in prayer, and then you guys are free to visit or get home to your littles or whoever. So God, I just want to thank you again for this opportunity today, Lord, to meet together, to learn and to grow in our relationships with you and as moms, or as hopeful moms for someday maybe. God, I just pray for each woman here, Lord, no matter where she's at, that you would take these verses and these thoughts shared today and encourage each one here to bring it all before you and to pursue you in righteousness, God. And I just pray, God, that you would give each mom here grace to continue to stay the course, to persevere, to be kind, to be tender-hearted, to be humble, to love our kids, God, in a way that only you can. Lord, I cannot love my children the way that is needed, because that love only comes from you. No one else, no wonderful book, no awesome seminar, no great message, nothing but you provides that joy, that peace, that patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. It all comes from you, God, and we need to be connected to you. God, I pray you'd help us to do that you'd give us grace to do that, and that you'd help us to pass it on to our kids, Lord. I just thank you for each of these women, Lord, and I ask you to bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.